Welcome to the UK and Ireland Minnesota Vikings Fan Club podcast. I am your host and co-president, Mr. Richard Dawson, and I am joined tonight by my two presidential amigos, Vice President and all-round nice guy, Mr. John McDonald, and show producer and co-president, Mr. Reese Field. Say hello, gentlemen.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, gentlemen.
I've got a little bit of a bounce in my voice tonight because it's draft week. I cannot wait. We're all going to stay up on Friday night. And this time, we're trading up, not backwards. So we've got a few things we're going to talk about in the show. One is, out of the quarterback prospects in the draft, who are they most like, either current NFL quarterbacks or previous NFL quarterbacks? Just to give you a bit of a flavour of what we potentially are in for if we draft a quarterback. We have got Matt dropping in from the JTT Cup, doing some fantastic work in charity fantasy leagues. And to round off the show, we're going to talk about draft prospects in the late rounds. Who is the sneak pick that we think we're going to get in the late rounds that could have a real impact on the Vikings next season? But first of all, we're going to talk about a cheeky quarterback trade that's just happened. Breaking news. Let's go to our field reporter, Reese Field. What's happened?
The Jets have decided that the guy who was going to make any veteran quarterback's life a living hell is not going to make anyone's life a living hell anymore, including the lives of Jets fans. Zach Wilson has been traded to the Denver Broncos, including a late round pick swap where picks 203 and 256 are changing hands. So, gentlemen, let's take them out of the quarterback race early in the draft.
No, of course it doesn't. John, what do you think?
Absolutely not. It does not take the Denver Broncos out of the quarterback race.
I could not agree with John anymore. I don't know what the Broncos are doing. I don't know how they could make their franchise any worse. They've just taken a massive cap hit on a quarterback that, I mean, anyone in their right mind would see that he's definitely better than Zach Wilson. And then instead of thinking, you know, let's just ride it out until the draft and, you know, potentially take a late draft quarterback and an early quarterback, they've signed Zach Wilson, who, now, I don't want to be disparaging of anyone, but he is comfortably the worst quarterback that I've seen in the last two seasons of the NFL. He is absolutely toilet. Reese, what's your thinks on the matter?
My thinks on the matter are this. I feel like you now got a three-way battle in Broncos camp between Jarrett Stidham, who is last season's backup. He was given quite a hefty contract for a backup. You've got Zach Wilson, and I expect a mid-round quarterback selection coming in from the Denver Broncos, most likely your favorite player in the draft, Spencer Rattler.
Don't sleep on Mr. Rattler. I still think he's got potential as that boy. You know, obviously, as Pete has tailed off in the last couple of seasons in college, but was heralded as a future star in the NFL. So, I don't mind Rattler. I do mind if he goes to the Broncos, because I don't particularly like the Broncos franchise because of one Mr. Walter Payton. But
Walter Payton's a very nice man. No, it's Sean Payton.
That's not right.
Sean Payton, isn't it? I was going to say, Walter Payton's, you're going a bit much far back there, mate.
I'm just too excited.
Man of the year, Walter Payton, is terrible in Rich's eyes.
Because I'm not too keen on Sean Payton, but at the moment, I mean, Zach Wilson, I wouldn't mind Zach Wilson being terrible, but he just wasn't very humble about any of it whilst he was at the Jets. Seemed to be a bit petulant, a bit childish. And I don't think he's endeared himself to many fans across the NFL at all. But if he's going to warm up the defense in the Broncos week to week, that's probably his level. I don't see him taking a single snap in Broncos country, what do they call themselves? I don't know. But
Russ called it Broncos country. Let's ride.
Yeah, that's it.
It won't be riding very far with Zach Wilson.
No, it certainly won't. Well, unless you've got some teammates, mums at the end of the finish line. That seems to be his thing. But anyway, we'll go straight into the actual quality piece of broadcasting the show is renowned for, which is looking at quarterbacks in the draft. Who are they comparable to? Let's get into it. So the top quarterbacks in this year's draft, everyone's got a different opinion on them. I think some people are going to slide. What we do know is that they have some comparables in the current NFL or in previous NFL that might give you a bit of an indication of how they could play walking into the next season. And you're probably sick of hearing our voices consistently for week after week after week. So we have brought some people back for some expert analysis on the quarterbacks in the draft. And first up we have, well, our friend Ant from the Irish Bears Show has come to talk about Caleb Williams.
Hi, Ant here from the Irish Bears Show. I've been honoured to ask by the guys from UK and Ireland, Minnesota Fan Club podcast to come on and talk about a quarterback, and a quarterback that I believe Chicago Bears will take with the number one pick in the 2024 draft. And that is, of course, Caleb Williams, USC QB, former Heisman Trophy winner, 6'1", 214 pounds. And what exactly can Caleb Williams do, and who do I think he's going to be compared to when it comes to this season ahead? Well, for me, I've heard people say the likes of Patrick Mahomes or Kyler Murray, but for me, the one that stands out the most and the hope that I have the most will be he'd be like someone who absolutely nearly killed me for years, and that is Aaron Rodgers. I see a lot of comparisons with him. I see a lot of our stuff that Aaron used to do against not just the Bears, but also the Vikings and the Lions over the years. And that is creativity, insane arm talent, superb ball placement, and ability to play in structure if he really wants to be. And the USC O-line was pretty awful for Caleb. He can rush. Look, he did 36 games in college, over 10,000 yards, 93 touchdowns, and only 14 interceptions, with a PFF grade of 117.4, 118.9, 118.3. Footwork is what makes him so similar to Rodgers. He gets in and out of the pocket when he wants. He creates space for himself, and he gives opportunities for his playmakers to go and make some big yards. He is everything for me that used absolutely run fear in me when Rodgers used to be out on the field against the Bears. And I'm only hoping and dreaming that Caleb Williams could be the man to do that. So for me, the first pick of the 2024 draft will be for the Chicago Bears. My Chicago Bears, Caleb Williams, quarterback, USC.
Thank you, Ant. That's a great review. I mean, does anyone really want to be like Aaron Rodgers? That's the biggest question. But in terms of quarterback talent, we know the guy was pretty special in terms of his NFL career. You know, there's very few that have played the game like Aaron Rodgers. If he turns out like Aaron Rodgers, I think we've got a bit of a problem on our hands. But the Bears have got history with quarterbacks, so let's not jump the gun. I'm going to go next. Drake May is my selection for comparables. And I think for me, there's a couple that I sort of had a look at, especially recent quarterbacks. Herbert, I think he's got a little bit of Herbert in him, but he's a tall quarterback. He doesn't mind a little bit of movement. He doesn't mind taking the game on his shoulders. And for me, he absolutely screams Josh Allen, the way that he plays. If you watch his tape, he is he's a bit like Josh Allen. The only thing that I think Josh Allen has over him is just that experience of the NFL, and then therefore a little bit more confidence. If you look at the way that Drake May plays, I think sometimes he does have a panic moment, which I think is coachable. I think you can calm a player down and make them coachable. Josh Allen came into the NFL quite raw, quite undercoached, if you like. And I think his arm talent was absolutely there, strong as an ox, absolutely comparable to May. He's got the legs, he's got the frame, he's a big guy, he's athletic. He just has that mistake in him. But then again, Josh Allen's got that mistake in him now, and people are still not writing the Bills off for any type of non-playoff performance this year, even though they've almost decimated their team. People are still saying that Josh Allen is so good that he could take the Bills as far as they want to go. And I think with Drake May, I think he just needs that bit of confidence. He needs that NFL game time. He needs that coaching and that nervousness around him, because he does have a mistake in him. I think 9 interceptions he threw in his last year of college. I think he will become a really good quarterback in the NFL, hopefully for the Vikings, because he is my pick in the draft. But yeah, if we're going to make comparisons between Drake May and anyone, I'm going to go with Josh Allen. I think they're very similar type of players. So if we do end up drafting him, expect a few scrambles, a few quarterback run designs, but some really good strong arm and some really good talent under center.
Lovely stuff there, Rich. I completely agree with you. He's very, very much like Josh Allen coming out there quite raw. Josh was very raw when he originally came out. I can see exactly about the throwing ability as well and the prospects of a bit. He can be a bit up and down, but yes, definitely see that about Drake May there. And he would be our ideal pick. I mean, obviously our ideal pick would be Caleb Williams, but there's fat chance of that. We all know that. But yet we've also got now our friend TPJ doing an analysis on Daniel.
So the draft is fast approaching and it's looking very likely that the Vikings are going to take a quarterback. This is one of the deepest quarterback classes that there's been for quite some time. There's a lot of talent down to maybe the fourth, fifth, or even sixth best rated quarterback available to the Vikings. And one of those available to us is Jaden Daniels. People are asking who you might compare him to in the NFL. And I would say that probably the best comparison is probably Lamar Jackson. The guy can obviously throw, but he's definitely got legs on him. The guy rushed for a couple of dozen touchdowns during his college career on top of all the passing touchdowns he threw as well. So clearly Lamar is the obvious comparison there. And whether that will fit with Kevin O'Connell's style of coaching at the Vikings remains to be seen. It didn't especially pan out for Josh Dobbs, who he tried to turn into a pocket passer. And that makes me think that maybe Jaden Daniels isn't the prime target for the Vikings. But if that's the sort of quarterback that we end up taking, that is the sort of play we can expect from a player like Jaden Daniels.
Thank you very much, TPJ. Thank you very much, Tom. We much appreciate that. I completely agree with you, actually. He's very much like Lamar Jackson. And I agree with you also that I don't think it actually fits what O'Connell is trying at the Vikings. That's why I've not been looking at him that much. Well, I've looked at him a lot, but I just don't think it fits our system and what we're trying to do at the Vikings. Anyway, moving on. We've got now my comparison, and I'm comparing JJ McCarthy to Kirk Cousins. Now, I know a lot of you are thinking, not another Kirk Cousins. Is he really like him? You sit back and watch this guy. You can't deny the similarities between them. He's a lot younger. He's a lot more agile. And I think he's got a bit of a better arm, to be honest. I know he's not played that many games. That's one thing people are holding against him, that he's not showing all he can do. But he's not had to show all he can do. He's had a strong running game behind him, but the reason he's shot up all these draft boards is because the coaches have finally sat down and watched his tape. Instead of the scouts and everything like that, the coaches have sat down and watched this tape and been like, I can work with that. I can make that brilliant. We've got an ex-quarterback as our head coach. I think he's absolutely fallen in love with him. And I think this is the way we are going to go. And I think he's so similar to Kirk Cousins that he will just slip in that system and fit perfectly.
Yeah, I see the comparison. I think it's more the mentality with JJ McCarthy and Kirk Cousins. They're both football guys, and I think that's why O'Connell would, you know, love to work with McCarthy, because of, you know, the mentality that he's got. He's should be easy to mold. He's a young quarterback. Like you say, the concern is there about how much has he actually played, how much has he actually thrown. But yeah, I could see him being a Kirk Cousins with a stronger arm. He's got the tools to succeed. Should he be drafted by us? if he's drafted by us, you know, what's the cost going to be? Is he going to fall to 11? Are we going to have to trade up to 4, 5, or 6 to get there? You know, that's for everyone to debate in the short lead up now to the draft. And if you listen to this after the draft, either John's come up with an expert analysis there that's very accurate and is going to be your future, or it could be our next comparison, which is coming from James of the UK Scolders podcast. He has compared a popular backup quarterback, shall we say, to Bo Nix.
So with the Vikings looking at quarterback in the draft, I think going for one of the day one starters is maybe out of the question in terms of tools that we have at our disposal to trade for. So looking further down the list, a quarterback that I like the prospect of, and if you build up for him, is Bo Nix. Bo Nix, again, 2023, he broke Mac Jones's previous record for a single season percentage at 77.45. He had 4,508 passing yards for 45 touchdowns, 234 yards rushing for 6 touchdowns. He's clearly a player who has the potential. His footwork needs a bit of work. His ability to read when the play starts breaking down needs a little bit of work, but that's anything that you could say about most prospects coming out of the draft. In terms of comparisons, you would be looking at Andy Dalton for the kind of player that he could be, but with a lot more upside, I'd imagine, than Andy Dalton. Obviously, Dalton wasn't helped with injuries in his career. So Nix would be a viable prospect for the future of the franchise if you give him the time. Obviously, we are in a position where we don't necessarily need him as a day one starter. We have Sam Darnold, who might not be the most elite level performer in the NFL, but has proved with the San Francisco 49ers that he has some ability to his play. Now, whether or not he kicks on here, that'd be a best thing for both worlds. It remains to be seen. But with Bo Nix, you are getting a project that, if you nurture well, it is certainly something that has a lot more upside than people are willing to admit. And it would definitely signal the start, the true start of the Kwesi era as GM, as well as the O'Connell era at head coach. It's something that the Vikings should definitely, definitely be considering.
I really like that comparison, because I struggled with Bo Nix to think, who is he like? Because you try and think of a game managing quarterback, and I think Andy Dalton is an exceptionally good game managing quarterback. Had you left him in there for a year at Carolina, I feel like they would have had a better record than they had with Bryce Young. I feel like Andy Dalton was always given a bit of a disservice. He was always sort of that middling line, shall we say, of quarterback. He is the bottom level of what you wanted your starter to be. I think it's been referred to a lot of times as the Dalton line, and you want a guy who's better than Andy Dalton as your quarterback. But if you give Andy Dalton the right tools, you get results. And I think if you put Bo Nix into that same category of give him the right tools, you'll get results. That's what you could get with the Vikings. The rookie quarterback contract is a cheat code. You can build an elite defense around it. And whilst Bo Nix might not be the number one choice, number two choice, three or four choice, he could be a realistic choice for the Vikings.
He's boring. That's my only problem with him. I'd rather take a punt on Penix with his injuries or Rattler with his downturn in form than go with a very ordinary Bo Nix. I mean, it looks like Guile at a Street Fighter. That's probably the most interesting thing about him. Apart from that, he's just a stand-up, nice guy who can throw the ball. He's just a bit boring. Surely there's more interesting things we can do with our first-round draft picks.
Yeah, I think if we said, and the Vikings let Bo Nix, we'd be like, okay. But it wouldn't be the same excitement that may, you know, come with a Drake May, Jen Daniels, JJ McCarthy, or even my comparison, which is Michael Penix Jr. For me, I like Penix. I really do feel like he is the guy with all the tools, the ability to jump into the NFL and go, yeah, that's an NFL quarterback. That guy can sit back and throw 40 times the game. But of course, there's the injuries, the concern around them. So I had to think really hard of what is the perfect comparison. And the comparison that I went with was Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford was a former first overall pick, showed a lot of flashes of brilliance. If you kept him upright and you kept him healthy, he had potential to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I mean, you look at the Saints game at the start of the 2017 season. We all walked away from that thinking Sam Bradford's going to take us to the Super Bowl. This is amazing. And then, of course, he got injured. You know, the injuries plagued him. He was traded away by the Eagles after a single season. And you know, it never really it took off for him in Minnesota. He couldn't really keep healthy, couldn't really see the team all the way through. Let's face it, what was a messy, unideal situation to come into in 2016 with, of course, Teddy injury coming out of nowhere and, you know, blowing up and a franchise in disarray. But what you saw when you had a healthy quarterback were the flashes that I feel like if you kept Penix healthy, you could get on a consistent basis.
I'm warming to Penix. And I know I have categorically ruled him out of all draft selections because of his injury history. But the more I read and the more the closer we get to the draft, and the more I get nervous around how much it's potentially going to cost us to move up and how much quarterback needy teams will potentially jump us, we might be left in a situation where the three options that we have, and we've got to take a quarterback, we've got to, are Fenix, Nix, Rattler. And out of those three, you've got to take Fenix because he's got the talent. And if he doesn't measure up in terms of not being good enough, I think there's more of a chance of him getting injured and not being good enough or not playing enough than him being literally not good enough. And I think that I could stomach that more than us drafting someone who turns out to not be a great quarterback. So I'm slightly, the only thing that worries about me about Fenix is his frame. I think he's a little bit too small. I have ridiculed Kyler Murray for years for not being able to see over the O-line. And I would like a slightly taller quarterback under center, but I am warming to him.
He's 6 foot three, Rich.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he just skinny then?
He's just skinny. I know he's deceptively tall, you know, might work in his favor being, you know, underestimated. The one thing I'd say about Penix is outside of Caleb Williams, I feel like when you talk about the flaws of a quarterback, like, you know, the lowest level, I feel like his floor is the highest. I feel like with May, it could implode. It could go first five games of Josh Allen just throughout the career. JJ McCarthy, we've not seen throw enough. You know, that could be something that we go, oh man, I really wish we drafted a quarterback who we saw throw more. Bo Nix, like you say, accurate, but is the average depth of targets something that's uninspiring? And Daniels, I mean, you know, one dodgy tackle and that could be an RG3 situation.
So that's it. That's our roundup of quarterback prospects going into the draft in a couple of days. Ooh, I think it could go anyway. I think I would hope that we have got plan A, B, C, D, E, F and G, because I have no idea where we're going to end up drafting, what we're going to end up giving away. I think and I hope the only certainty is that a quarterback from the draft will be in our building come the start of the season. Who that's going to be is anyone's guess. I'm quite excited about this next segment of the show. We did record it last week, so we had Matt from the JTT Cup in to talk to us about charity fantasy football. And I've followed Matt on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, for a couple of years. He's a proper stand-up guy, and he does some excellent work for a very well-deserved charity. So, yeah, we caught with him last week. Let's hear what he had to say. So on the show today, we have Matt from the JTT Cup. Say hello, Matt.
Hello, Matt.
Obviously, in on the in-jokes already. We like to hear that. We've got Matt on the show today because he does run a charity best ball league, which is a fantastic thing to get involved in. But what I want to do is understand Matt. I want to understand his NFL fandom, and I want to understand what the JTT Cup is all about. So we'll start with some very basic questions, as we always do. Matt, why the Jets?
So essentially, my aunt moved out to Connecticut in the early 90s. I was fairly young, 8-9 years old, and I became quite interested and I guess obsessed in the end with kind of American culture and sport and history and geography and stuff like that. And then kind of got into the NFL when I started playing Madden around kind of 16 years old, so around kind of the year 2000. And then got the opportunity to go to the States for the first time with my brother in 2006. And we did a kind of a 3-week tour of Chicago and some of the major Northeast cities. And the Sunday that we were in New York, there was the Jets were at home against the Texans. We went to 5 sports games during that holiday, but we went to 1 NFL game, which was that one. I didn't have a team up to then. I used to play as the Rams on Madden because they were the best team at the time, back in the kind of the greatest show on turf days. But I've always loved New York. My aunt lives not far from there, and it just seemed logical that, as that was my first ever game, they were going to be my team. So I kind of always joked that if the Giants had been at home that week, I'd have had 2 Super Bowl wins as a fan since. But as you can imagine, it's been pretty much 18 years of mostly pain, with a little bit of success sprinkled in around the turn of not this decade just gone, but the one before. So that's why I wouldn't change it. Love New York. Haven't been for 15 years, but I'm hoping to go back this year.
You've got an exceptionally similar story to mine, because my auntie moved to Minnesota in the 90s. And she sent me back the first year she was there. She sent me back a personalised Minnesota Vikings jersey, which I just took as my team. But I was a bit, obviously, a very fair weather fan, very young, an introduction, very young introduction to the sport. She also sent me back on my 21st birthday a Giants Barber red and white shirt with the 21 on the back, because I'm a Sunderland fan, and she thought I would want a red and white shirt. So at that point, I had a decision to make. But I stuck with the Minnesota Vikings, and like you, have had years of misery in supporting my NFL team. So, yeah, very, very similar story. I suppose the easy question to ask next is, who's your favourite all-time Jet?
So my favourite all-time is Nick Mangold. You know, he was a great, great player, great centre for us, great servant. And he was, I believe he was the centre of that first game that we went to watch him. And I was lucky enough 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago to the day, actually, because the Jets fan club in the UK put on a draft party 2 years ago, the year that we drafted Brees and Garrett Wilson, and they had managed to get Nick Mangold over to London for it. So I managed to meet him in person, which was fantastic.
Oh, great story. Yeah, we've had a few Vikings legends come over to the UK. Reese has met a few. I've met a couple. It's amazing. It never ceases to amaze me how you can get such access to such legends of the game in a totally different country. Absolutely outstanding. So that brings me on to, who's your favourite current Jet? And if it starts with Aaron and ends in Rodgers, I do know where the delete button is.
Do you know what? Even if it was, I don't think I'd come on a Minnesota Vikings fans podcast and even admit it. But no, so I guess I've got two. I've got so Garrett Wilson is my favourite offensive player. And then I love Quincy Williams on defence. Obviously, we've got a great defence. It's really easy to love a lot of the players. But Quincy Williams was superb last year, and just he's become the fan favourite for all the right reasons.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Hall. Just because he got me a load of fantasy points in the first year that I drafted him, but I just love the way he plays. So much of a big shame when he went down, and glad to see that he's come back with a vengeance. So yeah, good luck to him in the future, apart from when obviously you play us. But moving on to current affairs, obviously there is the small problem of the draft in a couple of weeks' time. You've got pick 10. What are you expecting to do with it? And giving it to the Vikings for free is probably the best answer at this stage.
I think the Vikings have a much bigger plan than 10, don't they? I would imagine. See how them first couple of picks plays out. But so I guess the pessimist Jets fan in me wants us to draft another offensive lineman. It's been a big problem for us for a number of years. And, you know, Rodgers obviously went down very early in the season, partly because of the O-line troubles. We did add quite a few good, experienced offensive linemen in free agency, although a couple of them are quite injury prone. So I feel like depth on O-line is important. a lot of the media are talking up Brock Bowers, the tight end at 10. I guess for me, I'd like us to draft an offensive lineman or potentially trade back a few spots and pick up maybe a second rounder. Because obviously our second rounder belongs to one of your least favourite teams from the Rodgers trades. So, yeah, I guess offensive lineman or trade back and still pick up an offensive lineman would probably be my choice. But then, you know, I'm not a GM, so we'll see.
It feels like a very apt thing to do when you've got Aaron Rodgers to not draft an offensive weapon. So I'm sure he'd be happy to hear that from you.
Well, you know, last off-season, we seemed to want to appease Rodgers a lot. We added, obviously, Cobb and Lazard, and then there was talk of other players coming this year. That feels like he's running the team a bit, and he's calling a lot of the shots, which I don't necessarily agree with. But if we win the Super Bowl this year, who cares?
Yeah, there's a lot of that going around this year. Same with us. If we draft the entire future away for a quarterback and then we win the Super Bowl, who cares? That's the seems to be the all-in and bust line from a lot of franchises. But we have talked about the Jets. We've talked about your favourite players, but we're not really here to talk about that, are we? We are here to talk about a venture that yourself has put together, which I learned about over Twitter. I know we've had a few, I know, X, whatever the kids call it these days. We've had a few exchanges over X and a bit of banter, but I recently joined something this year called the JTT Cup, which is just an incredible venture. Tell us all about it and tell us how people get involved.
So I guess where it started was during the first COVID lockdown. So it's quite a background to it. It's one of my very good friends who lives in the same town as me. So we live in a town southeast of Cambridge, and he's a Bears fan. I'll say that quietly to you guys. And he, during the first COVID lockdown, so he's a window cleaner and he's a DJ. So he runs, well, it's two jobs, but during COVID, he couldn't do either of those things. So he set up a Facebook group called the Disco Kitchen. And the original point of the Disco Kitchen was just to stream a live set of music over Facebook on a Friday and a Saturday night to people that were stuck at home and couldn't go out, weren't allowed to go out. And that kind of evolved into a really well-run kind of charity fundraising venture. And the beneficiaries of that were the Joshua Talent Trust. So that kind of brought the Joshua Talent Trust to my attention. And the Joshua Talent Trust are a independent charity that raise funds to care for children with brain tumors, and it was set up by a set of parents, Sean and Denise Tarrant, who lost their son Joshua, and they live in our town as well. They lost their son Joshua to a brain tumor age 16 in 2012, and I have had the opportunity to meet the two parents, and it's very humbling and quite upsetting as well, but seeing the strength that they've had to kind of go through all that and set that up in their son's name and do such great work to help other children with the same condition is amazing. And it was during that 2020 season, and I wish I'd started it slightly earlier, but I kind of got the idea in the October, I think, to let's try and run a charity competition and raise a bit of money for them, because I had, you know, a fairly modest circle of acquaintances who were NFL fans in the UK. And I thought, if I can get, you know, 20, 30 people in it and raise a few hundred quid for them, then great. And in the first year, we managed to get 60 people and raise 750 something pound. And it kind of just, I didn't really know where it was going to go. I didn't even know if I was going to do it a second year and a third year. But I did. And in the second year, it grew to 250 people and we raised nearly 6,000. And then last year, it was 440 people and raised over 10,000 for them. So, you know, when I first set it up, I didn't think it would get this big. I'm really proud that it has. I'm really pleased that it has, because every penny that we raise for it goes directly to the charity and does fantastic work for, you know, a lot less fortunate people than myself. And, you know, I've got an 8-year-old son. That's how old Joshua was when he got diagnosed. And I just think that obviously would be so difficult to go through. And yeah, so that's what kind of inspired it, and that's where everything's kind of where it's come from. Yeah, a long may it continue, I guess. This year we've got nearly 550 people signed up to play. That's grown again for year four, and we've already raised nearly 11,000, and I've still got another 150 of those people that have signed up to donate. So if we raise 13,500 this year, then that'll take the fundraising to 30,000 all time, which is kind of where I'd like to get to. But if we don't quite hit it, whatever we raise, it's going to be a five-figure sum, and it's going to be an incredible amount of money for the charity.
Well, mate, you should be very, very proud. Yeah, you should be very, very proud of yourself. I've got two little ones myself, and I must admit, when I saw some of the stuff on X, and I'm let's just say I don't pay a huge amount of attention to a lot of things. When I saw it, I gleaned the information off the top and thought, yeah, I'm just in, because it's something to do with the NFL and I get to help out a charity. So I've got to admit, I've never played a best ball league before and I don't really know what I'm doing, but I have signed up. So I'm probably, this is probably the best time to have you on, so you can tell me exactly what I need to do ongoing. I've been assigned a league, which is about as much as I know at the moment. What do I actually need to do? And if anyone else is going to sign up, what do they need to do?
So I guess, best ball format is a fairly new format, which is different to your traditional redraft leagues. And it's got quite popular in the last 3 or 4 years. And again, I'd probably align that to COVID. So during COVID, lots of UK fantasy players joined too many leagues for what they could really handle. And best ball is a format where you don't have that weekly maintenance of your team. You don't add and drop players. You don't make trades. You don't even set a lineup. So there's no making mistakes. There's no, I'll pick this person over this person to start this week. And of course, the person I left on the bench got 30 points. Best ball is a format that will automatically assign your highest scoring players into your lineup for the week. So essentially, the league itself is, you just have to draft well. Because after you draft, you can do nothing else. If you there is an element of luck to it. If you get a load of injuries, you're going to struggle because you don't get to replace those players. But it's a 28-round draft, but you only have 10 starters every week. And that's why the draft is so deep, because it allows for those season-ending injuries that people are going to get. You'll draft someone in July that tears their ACL in preseason, and you've lost one if you're 28 already. But it's a really easy format. It's a really easy format for new people that are maybe just firstly getting into fantasy. But in terms of what you need to do, so everyone will be in a division of 10. Essentially, you're firstly competing against them 9 other people. So you will draft a team with those. Every player that you draft will be unique to you within your own division. And then it's all about points scored. So in best ball format, there's no win-loss record. Although there's a win-loss record showing on Sleeper, on the app, it's all about points scored. So if you win your division, if you score the highest amount of points, then you'll make the playoffs. And some of the second and third place teams in your division will as well. But there's a kind of a wider conference format that will be announced prior to the draft that will kind of explain all of that.
It's all sounding music to my ears, because the exact situation where you said people sign up to too many fantasy leagues and then can't manage them, that happened to me last year. And let's just say I didn't perform well in any of them particularly. And so if something I can just concentrate once on and get it done. So I need to download the Sleeper app. That's the first thing I need to do after I have told you that I definitely want to be involved. And how do I find out about this? What's your Twitter handle?
So the Twitter handle for the JCC Cup is at JCC Cup. So really simple. Obviously, I mean, our DMs are open if people want to ask questions, if they want clarification on what to do. But if they visit the JTT Cup page, the pinned tweet has the Google form, which is the sign-up form. So a really, really simple form to fill out. It takes 2 minutes. Within the form is a link to the Joshua Tarrant Trust website, direct Just Giving page. So when you donate directly to the charity. I don't handle any money. And then there's two ways that they need to, well, there's two possible ways that someone can prove they've donated. Either they put it on the public Just Giving page with their name on and I pick it up, or they need to send me a screenshot on a direct message at JTT Cup. So, and the other thing I'd add is someone that signs up now doesn't have to donate immediately. So we close donations at the end of May, and then that gives me a little bit of time in June to chase anyone who might have signed up and forgotten or not donated. So if they sign up now, they've got another 5 or 6 weeks to get their donation in, maybe at the end of the month when they get paid or something like that.
Sounds good. So I've found the JTT Cup on Twitter. I've signed up for Sleeper. I've sent across my donation. You've put me into a league. I then just wait for one draft and then do nothing else apart from take the glory when I win.
Essentially, yeah. So a lot of people, they draft and then we post. Obviously, you'll be able to see your own division table on the app in your division, but the wider conference, which would usually be four or five divisions, we post the conference tables in the chat every Tuesday. So I have a team of me and 12 admins who look after four or five divisions each, because we're probably going to have 55 divisions this year. So we all look after four or five each. We have a WhatsApp chat. I post it in there. Then they pull out their conference and just post it in five divisions, which is a massive help because it saves me posting it going into 55 divisions and posting the same information. But yeah, you know, you check in every now and again. It might be that you start really well and then you'll be obviously more engaged and probably more likely to be checking in on it every week, where if you start really poorly, you might just completely forget about it after two or three weeks.
Yeah, let's just say I've been guilty of that one as well. Yeah, I think, it's all sounding great. Obviously, an absolutely fantastic cause. Very humbled by the effort that you've put into it. Like I say, be really proud of what you've achieved so far and hopefully what we're going to achieve going forward. In terms of divisions that we put in, I think one of the most important things that we have to get across is that, and I didn't know this, and now I'm feeling a little bit behind the times because I've been put into the Elton John League and my team name is supposed to be, so I've learned, a pun, an Elton John pun to do with the NFL. And everyone else has chosen good ones now and I'm way behind. So if anyone's got a suggestion of an Elton John NFL pun, send them my way and I will rename my team, because at the minute it's just Gala Horny, which now on reflection doesn't sound great.
Yeah, do you know what? So I am that's been really interesting this year because we've had a theme every year. So year one, we did a pirate theme because it was the Bucks had won the Super Bowl the year before. And then in year two, we did literally local. We put everyone that was local to each other together in a division. So everybody sent me their location, their nearest town or whatever. And it was quite a nice exercise. Me and my son, and he would have been 5 or 6 at the time, literally put pins into a map and then put elastic band around 10 people at a time, going, right, that's these 10. So it was a regional thing. And then last year we did a divisional rival thing where, you know, Vikings fans that played would have been in the division with other Vikings fans, Packers, Bears and Lions fans, which obviously got quite a lot of kind of bands flowing on the chats and stuff. So this year the theme is music. And the reason I chose that was I just thought, what's an easy theme that I can get 60 different names for and chuck people into divisions? But as I've started setting the divisions up 10 days ago, the amount of people who have started, as you've said, making a team name that is a pun, that's a play on whatever division they're in, and some of them have been absolutely incredible. I wasn't expecting that at all. And that's been a really fun part of it, is seeing people join divisions and then, you know, changing their name. So and I'm actually, during May, I'm going to do like a competition. I'm going to put all the best names on Twitter on the JCT page and do like a bracket, if you like a March Madness, if you like, where people can vote and we'll have a winner, just for a bit of fun to keep people kind of engaged during the off season. So come up with something really good and you'll get into that competition.
Yeah, I'll have to get a bit more creative. I know, Rhys, I think you've just signed up, and if there's not already a Prince League, then he'll be vying for getting into the Prince League. I know what he's like.
Oh, nightmare, because I literally filled the Prince League maybe yesterday or the day before.
I'm lucky, mate.
So,
I'm lucky.
Apologies, but yeah, we've had some fantastic ones. I have to say, it's been really great seeing people kind of get involved.
I'm sure if you give him Taylor Swift, he'll be just as happy.
Done enough of those puns on this podcast.
So remind everyone, Matt, how many signups have you had?
We're at 546 signups, which is fantastic. And I was originally going to stop it at 500, but when we got to 500, I was still getting 6 or 7 signups a day. So I send it to 520 because that's like the next round number that has the conference format fit. Then I went to 550. And I felt like I was going to stop at 550, but I've still got quite a few pods to appear on and talk about it. And we're still getting people interested. So I'd love to get to 600 because 600 would almost guarantee that value that I'd like to raise. And we might still do it at 550, but we don't set a low or high limit for the donation. It's just what you can afford. So some people donate a massive amount, but some people can only afford to do a 5 or a 10, and that's fine too. So if we get to 550, I'll see how much time I've got left before the end of May, and we might make it even bigger.
Well, hopefully you'll get a few Vikings fans signing up after you've been on this, and that's what we want, really, because like I say, it's an amazing achievement that you put together. You should be very proud of yourself. Amazing charity. You know, we all take a bit for granted our health, especially the health of children, but it can become a devastating situation when one of them becomes poorly. So it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do to raise some cash. And if anyone's got, you know, it's an easy thing to do. You just sign up, you pick your team, and then take the glory at the end and donate a little bit of money. It's a bit of fun. It's the exact right thing you should be doing as a UK NFL fan. So yeah, thanks, Matt, for setting up. And thanks for coming on, and thanks for talking about it.
No worries. Thanks for having me on. It's great getting the message out there and obviously being able to network a bit as well. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're big fans of the UK Jet fan club. But Reese, you've met him a few times, haven't you?
Met quite a few times, celebrated quite a few times, and commiserated even more often. So yeah, hopefully this year it'll grow even more.
Yeah, one of my very best mates is a Jets fan. He dragged me down to the Jets Falcons game at the Tottenham Stadium a couple of years ago, which was,
yeah,
I thought it was punishment, really. I think, I mean, it was an absolutely horrible game.
I think that that Falcons first down noise was punishment, wasn't it? That horrendous screech that it made. I mean, when you'd had eight, ten pints already, and then you hear that every 2 minutes, that was very annoying. I've just, as you were talking now, I've just had a sleeper notification come through to say that someone in the Elton John division has just changed their name. So maybe they're listening and thought, I need to get in there before you do.
They're all going. All the good ones have gone. That's the problem. I'm going to have to go really niche, like an Elton John cover or something ridiculous. But we'll get there. We'll find something that's fun. But yeah, again, Matt, thank you very much for coming on. Thank you very much for explaining what you do. Thanks for setting it up. You know, it's going to be a joy to be part of this year. And I'm sure you'll do it every year. And I'm sure I'll take part every year. And I'm sure it'll be just as fun. So yeah, thank you very much for coming on again, mate. Thank you.
Brilliant. Yeah, thanks, guys. Cheers.
Absolutely brilliant stuff, Matt, there. You've definitely talked me into joining another fantasy league. Oh, God. I do far too many of them, but no, that's definitely talked me into joining yet another one. It's all for a great cause, and we love what's going on there and completely support you. Thank you very much for giving us that interview.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Matt. And if anyone else is interested in signing up, please reach out to @JTTCup on X, Twitter, whatever you're calling it these days. They will more than happily take your application. It is for an absolutely incredible cause, and they do put a lot of effort into it. So, yeah, get yourself signed up. Last bit of the show we've got. And we are talking about the tail end of the draft, the forgotten few that are going to come in round sixes and sevens. Unless you're an absolute avid college football watcher, it's tough to pick them out at that end of the scale. You're listening for little snippets on the social media or interviews with local TV channels and stuff to see who could potentially be a nugget of gold in the dust of the back end of the draft. And I'm going to go first. You're going to have to wait, gents. I'm going to go first. And my pick for the back end of the draft, I nearly said, and I've mentioned him before, and I nearly said Wiley, the tight end, because I just think that with Hockenson's injury and having a couple of veterans on the team, I think it'd be good to start stockpiling at that position. And he's a massive guy. I just think that we can coach him into being a better player than what he's shown in college. And I think he'd be an asset. But the bigger need that I think we've got with Bradbury coming up to the point where we're actually going to have to start properly paying him and giving him a long-term contract is interior offensive line. And the name that I keep reading about interior offensive line, particularly center, is Nugent from Michigan. Because one thing that people have accused the Minnesota Vikings in past of being is too bloody nice. And all I hear Nugent from the Michigan is that he's a little bit feisty and he's got a little bit of an edge to him. And actually he could introduce something to that Vikings offensive line that we've never had in recent times, which is a bit of nastiness, you know, a little bit of tugging, a little bit of underhand tactics. I go back to an interview that I saw. I think it was the Kelce brothers talking about swapping their gloves for the same color as the opposition jersey, so you could get away with holds more than you could ever could with it. And I think just that little bit of nous in the game, that little bit of treading the line, breaking the rule a little bit, you know, bending it but not breaking. I think we need a bit of that nastiness, a bit of ruthlessness in our offensive line, especially if we're going to be protecting a rookie quarterback. And if the top three quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, and we have to trade up for someone like a JJ McCarthy, then who better to have giving him the ball this season than, or next season, than his trusty mate Nugent under center? I just think it makes sense to me. He's a little bit undersized. He's a little bit, like I say, on edge for a player, but I think he would introduce something, certainly in a position of need for the Vikings. And if it's JJ McCarthy under center, then I would want his mate giving him the ball.
Yeah, he's definitely an interesting prospect. A prospect that would definitely need to take the Kelce trick of having the same color gloves as his, shall we say, opposition defensive tackle. A feisty guy. I don't know why you don't like Garrett Bradbury. Especially contract year Garrett Bradbury, because contract year Garrett Bradbury is a different animal. And one thing that often gets overlooked with Garrett Bradbury is he's a bloody smart footballer. You know, he picks up a lot that would go unnoticed. And having a rookie quarterback under center, despite the sweaty crack that might make him want to stay in the shotgun most of the time, having a center that can pick up a lot of blitzes is going to help a lot. But then you say that familiarity of, you know, having the same center you had in college, that would transition quite nicely too.
I don't disagree on Bradbury, what you're saying on Bradbury. He obviously is a nice guy. He comes across really well in interviews, and he's obviously a very smart guy. But he's coming up to the wrong end of 30. He is going to be potentially expensive. And I don't know if he's done enough, especially in recent years, to say, yes, we want him under center for another 2-3 years. I think it's time to start something new, because we've got two exceptional players in the game in Darrisaw and O'Neill. The people in between those two guys need to step up and be something along the lines of as good in their position. And I don't think we're ever going to say that about Bradbury.
Well, for my later round prospect, or more of a mid-round prospect, I've gone for a guy who he's got sort of a round 4-5 grade. Offensive line, again, is something I agree needs to be strengthened. I mean, how many good offensive lines or interior offensive lines are there in the league? 4, 5, 6 tops? We've got a rookie quarterback likely coming in. We've got a rich quarterback starting for a year. And for me, if I feel like that gives you the opportunity to take a bit of a prospect guard, someone that you can also sort of train and nurture and build up for a year. And for me, I feel like an ideal candidate for that is Christian Mahogany out of Boston College. Redshirted in his junior year, 2020, he comes in, he starts all 11 games at left guard, and then he moves over to right guard in 2021 and starts all 11 games there. The issue is 2022, he suffered a tore ACL before the season and missed the entire year, but came back last year and again started all his games. He's got some bounce back, some grit about him. There are some issues with footwork, as there are in a lot of later round guards, but as the season progressed, you know, he learned and he really did improve on that in the later part of the season. You know, he's broad, you know, he's got a good stature for a guard, and his athleticism, you know, is off the charts really for a later round prospect. In the combine, he ranked 5th amongst all guards in the athleticism. You know, his combine ranking actually overall was 3rd, his production 3rd. You know, he's a really interesting prospect, and it's quite a deep class this year. So if you can pick someone like him up in the 4th or 5th round and have a bit of a prospect at guard, you know, a position where we don't know what's going to happen. We've got a couple of guys in there currently who are vying for the job who are more of a backup caliber. You know, having a guy come in as a rookie, maybe sitting for a year and learning the position, learn the playbook, you know, going up against NFL caliber defensive tackles in practice for a year, having a couple of off seasons to build and learn, could give you a very solid left or right guard. In the case of Mahogany, you know, you could play either position, and it could set you up quite nicely for what would be your rookie quarterback's first full season.
Not a bad shout. Not a bad shout at all, I think. Well, I mean, obviously, it's a position of need. We don't know what's happening with Dalton Reisner. We'd probably upset a few people by saying he might not come back. But I think, especially the run-blocking game, you know, we have suffered in the past at that. We've just brought Jones in. It'd be nice if someone could create a few gaps for him, you know, let him be the player that we know he can be. So, yeah, good shout, good shout. And I think, you know, it's not an unlikely prospect at that late stage in the draft. So, yeah, good bit of field work there, Mr. Field.
2 for 2 on that one today, Rich.
Go on, John. Who you got?
I have gone with Daquan Hardy, cornerback out of Penn State. Now, this guy is really quick. His 40-yard dash is 4.38. He's really good at punt returns, which the kick with the kickoff game return being changed about this year, I can really see us exploring that. He's a little small. He's only 5'9". He's taller than me, but I'm a midget. But he's a really good prospect. He's raw, but we can use him in that kickoff return game to begin with, I think. I think he's a really interesting prospect out of Penn State. And, yeah, I think that's the way, as a later round pick, that's where I would be going and be really happy if we got him in.
Another position of need, another way to use the draft stock that we've got to our best advantage. I think, you know, our cornerback situation has been pretty dire. And the secondary last year's season were, one, exceptionally tired, but two, did not perform as well as we would have hoped. So restocking that department seems like the right thing to do. Penn State's good school, come from good stock. So, yeah, don't have a problem with that pick either, John. What do you think, Reese?
Yeah, it's a special team standout, isn't it? And if you could take Najee Thompson and have another one of him on the other side of the field, you know, you wouldn't mind punting as much because, you know, there's not going to be much getting past your gunners. What concerns me, of course, yeah, we say this is a late round prospect. He's not going to come in and start immediately. Having seen a few Penn State games, he's not one who would be inclined to get involved in run support. You know, he's more of a clever corner. You know, he uses his hands very well in that as well. He does maximize breakups very nicely. He gets his hands in there. He times himself quite well. A bit slow off the break, but, you know, that's quite common on a college cornerback to be a bit slow off of a break and a route change. The run support is my biggest concern. I feel like that's our biggest flaw as a defense is stopping the run. I say, who expects the late round corner to come in and start, especially someone who's more going to be a special teamer if he got drafted by the Vikings? I would be excited, you know, if he did that because, you know, imagine having two guys who can return kicks and be exceptionally good at that. I mean, he had two last, what, two in 2023 punt returns for touchdowns? I mean, I wouldn't say no to that in the team.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Reese. He's very raw and his floor is the run game. Stopping the run game, but he does his breakups are really great at that, and he's brilliant at what he does. But I don't expect him to come straight in there at that corner position. I expect him to be very much be the special teams helper out there. And yeah, he's lightning quick. Okay, he's a little small. I get that, but he's definitely something I think in a couple of years under Mr. Flores, who would be really something.
He can have a few inches off Penix, considering I shrunk him earlier in the show. Yeah, I think get him in the weight room for a year and see what he can do. That is it for our late round prospects. If you've got any gems that we haven't unearthed, give us a shout. So it was on social media, reply to the posts on the podcast. We would love to hear your views. But that's it. This is it now. And this time next week, gents, the draft will have finished and we'll have a new quarterback. Who's it going to be? I'm very excited. It's going to be a good week. It's going to be a good week.
If we don't have a quarterback, I'm going to be
And before we go, a big thank you to Darren, committee member Darren, for going on the People's Draft with Jeff Reinbold. I don't know if he's going to pan out that way, but he very interesting picks, let's say. If you want to go back and watch their show, we'll post a link when we do the promotion for the podcast. Yeah, really interesting and wets your whistle just before draft day. And I'll be watching the film draft day, as I do every year on Thursday night before it kicks off. So make sure you've definitely not illegally broadcasted that before you watch the draft.
And I'm just going to say on draft day, Drake May, do whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. Drake May, whatever it takes. If I had a post-it note, I would have plastered it to Quasi's face because I really do want him. This time next week, we're going to know. It's all going to be over. All the speculation is going to be over. And then we can start arguing about whether he's any good or not.
Just another reminder, if anyone is in the London area, that I'll be watching the draft live Thursday night at the Hippodrome with a few other fans. So please, if you are about, come along and join us.
It's going to be a late one.
That's it. If you like a late night and you've got a Friday off of work, go join John and other fans of the Vikings. You know, we might have an early pick. I hope we've got an early pick. I really hope we do. And of course, one other thing, as always, if you enjoy the show, please do leave us a review on whatever platform you decide to listen on, or leave a review on multiple platforms. We won't say no to that. And if you've got a question for us, you can always reach us on the DMs on any of our socials at UK Vikings Fans or UKVikesPod@gmail.com.
Oh, there's the admin out of the way. Enjoy your Thursday night, Friday morning, John. A couple of interesting situations that could arise for you. You could be rolling out the camp beds, or you could be home for an early night, depending on who decides to pick when. But this time next week we'll have our draft completed. We'll have some new additions to the roster. Do you guys want to come back and talk about it next week then?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Good to hear. Right then, we'll end it there. Thank you everyone for listening, and say goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
Cheers. Ta-ra.